This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Neil Diamond for us this morning. Kind of get us up and going. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Thank you very much, Neil.
That'll be enough. Red Sox fans.
I'm sorry?
And Red Sox fans.
What do you mean?
Paul.
Red Sox and Neil Diamond?
That's their theme song.
Oh, you're
right. It's the one they always sing it in the seventh inning stretch or whatever.
That's Big Ed telling me what I don't know. You're right. So they hit a home run or something. Big Pappy hits a home run and they play that stupid song. Oh, for God's sake. I think I'd leave Boston. I wouldn't want to listen to that all the time. It's a good song, though. Well, anyway, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy. It's Wednesday already. Boy, the week is flying by. September the 10th. Thank you for joining us. In a few minutes, we will talk with Steve Bucci. He is foreign affairs expert at the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about President Obama's nationwide address tonight. He'll be talking about the Mideast crisis this evening and the situation with ISIL. Also, the Libertarian Party is warning our government to stay out of Iraq and Syria. And we're going to talk about whether or not that's good advice. Also, finally, our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10. You're going to like this one. Everybody's going to like this one. The top 10 most popular board games of all time. So think about it. What do you think it is? Top 10. Freedom Works, we come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tan Talk Radio Network out of Tampa Bay, Florida. And we are here to talk all things libertarian. We promote libertarian ideas and its philosophy. We're not a libertarian party animal. We're separate from that. But our motto is the more individual freedom you get, the happier, the better off, the more fulfilled, the more content. Everybody's happy if you have individual freedom. So we talk about that. It's a libertarian cornerstone. We were promised that in our Declaration of Independence. Our Constitution was a route to keep us free individuals. It's the kind of thing we don't seem to remember a lot, especially in Washington, D.C. Anyway, love to have you call in if you have a thought or question. Our toll-free number, 866-826-1340, just like the frequency, 866-826-1340. You can also go to our website and find out more about the show, thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. You'll also be able to access previous programs, see who the guests were, see what the top 10 list was, see all the good things. You don't have to do anything else in your life, but involve yourself with our program. You'll be a happy, very happy camper. Anyway, we'll be talking in a few minutes with a guy from the Heritage Foundation. And by the way, the Heritage Foundation is a very conservative think tank. They do get involved in issues of defense. And they tend to be somewhat, you might say, conservative, pro-military. And Steve Bucci will be talking a little bit about it, but let me give you a taste of it. He has written an article, along with a colleague of his, James Carafano, saying that the situation in Iraq remains grave, spiraling violence, political instability, a humanitarian crisis caused by the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. The acronym is ISIS, or ISIL. The Obama administration has an obligation, according to Steve and Carafano, to take responsible action. He says Congress should insist the president take immediate, suitable, and appropriate measures to safeguard American interests. So that's a little bit of a taste of what he's going to be talking about when he joins us in a few minutes. Also, the story about all of this is that President Obama is asking Congress for an okay for further arm and support for Syrian rebels as a potential prelude to ordering airstrikes inside Syria against the ISIS militants. The president is expected to make the call in his primetime address tonight. It will be at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. A White House aide says the president has already asked Congress to quickly pass a bill that will give him the power to ramp up support to Syrian rebels. The aide said Obama is seeking more aid for the rebels so they can be the ground troops to support potential U.S. airstrikes. You know that Obama will not talk about putting our own boots on the ground, but airstrikes, most definitely. Now, he's watching the polls, and all of a sudden, it's like 70% of the people in this country, according to, I think, one of the most recent big polls, say that they want airstrikes. They want airstrikes over there. They're afraid of this ISIS group. So he's a poll watcher. And despite all the promises about a year ago, we're pulling everybody out of everywhere, he has decided that he's got to do something. The two beheadings of the American journalists, somewhat a catalyst for all of this, for the reaction of the U.S. populace. So he's kind of leading from behind, isn't he? He's not the kind of a guy that would come up with a game plan, rather fearless game plan, you might say, and then proceed with it. Anyway, we're going to find out tonight. And at the same time, the Libertarian Party, sort of in opposition to what the Heritage Foundation is talking about, urging lawmakers to stop bombing in Iraq and to disengage in both Iraq and in Syria. So we got a lot of things to talk about. And we're hopefully going to be talking with, as I say, Steve Bucci in just a few minutes. We're having right now, we're trying to reach him by phone. And we've left a message for him. What we do, just so you know, is that either they will call in and get ready to talk with us, or we call them. And in this case, we were told to call him. So let's do this. Let's do our spot. And when we come back, hopefully, we'll be talking with the Heritage Foundation on the crisis with ISIS. So don't go away.
Young child with dreams, dream every dream on your own. When children play, seems like you end up alone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arr, org meeting, when it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Just got laid off or quit your job? Or maybe you're employed but looking to change directions and start a new career. Before you run headlong into a new job search, join me, Carl Schumacher, on Ask the Career Coach at 1230 Thursdays on WTAN Radio after the Wise Guy radio show for tips and discussions that can help you to recruit yourself into your next job. Or catch me online at www.executive-careercoaching.com.
Tarpon Springs High School football is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Tune in Friday nights to hear all the hits and excitement of high school football. Join play-by-play man Rick Sassone every Friday night, bringing you the action of Spongers football. Pregame starts at 7:05, and the game action starts at 7:30. Tune in Friday nights here on Tan Talk 1340 so you don't miss a snap. Tarpon Springs High School football is on Tan Talk 1340 Friday nights, so get in the game.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing, our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a $1 million view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works. Hi, I'm Paul Malloy. Thank you very much for joining us. We are trying to reach Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation. Steve is supposed to join us. We're going to talk a little bit with him about the crisis with the Mideast and the ISIS situation. And right now, Steve is not at the phone. So that's sometimes the way things go. He was supposed to call us ahead of the interview, and we would be ready to talk with him. So we'll, a big Ed is trying to reach him, and we'll see if we can get him on a little bit later. In the meantime, we going to talk a little bit more about the situation with the Mideast crisis. President Obama making an address to the nation tonight. He wants all the networks to cover it. So I think the Big Three and Fox will be covering his address. And we're getting all kinds of comments already, needless to say, about what he should do, if anything. Here is what the Libertarian Party is saying about it. They are urging lawmakers to discontinue any bombing in Iraq disengage in the Mideast from both the situation in Iraq and in Syria. Here is the chair of the Libertarian Party. His name is Nicholas Sarwark. The U.S. government has been intervening in the Middle East for more than half a century under the pretext of achieving peace. But things just keep getting worse. We must stop stoking conflicts that tear countries apart, stop dropping bombs, and stay out of the region. So that's what Nicholas Sarwark has to say. The Libertarian comment goes on to say that any attempt by the U.S. and other countries to intervene in that area undermines the ability of the natives who oppose the Islamic State to mount their own sustainable opposition. The party says it also helps the ISIS recruit supporters and puts the world at greater risk of terror attacks. And so the Libertarian Party is, very much, I've got to give them credit, because they take a definite stance against any kind of intervention in other countries. And it makes a lot of sense in many ways, because what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to intervene. With apologies to the guy that first wrote that. And that's what always happens. The unintended consequences, even though they're good. We go in there to save lives, protect people. But you know what happens? Whenever you're dropping bombs anywhere, come on, there are going to be innocent people that die. And we can say all the good things we want to say about trying to help the situation. Innocent people will die. And so you can understand the Libertarian philosophy. Now, more than 30 Libertarian candidates for federal office nationwide will be on the ballot in November. They've all pledged to downsize our military. Here's what the pledge is from the Libertarian Party that these candidates have taken. Quote, if elected, I will sponsor legislation to cut military spending by 60% or more and cut total federal spending accordingly, close all foreign U.S. military bases, withdraw completely from the Middle East, and bring our troops home. So that's pretty clear cut, isn't it? Just get the heck out of all of these places overseas that we're not really supposed to be over there. We're not the world's policemen. We don't have a right to be their policemen. When these bad things happen, those closest to the fray are the ones that get involved. And it makes a lot of sense. Now, the one caveat is when we feel that we as a nation are threatened. And that is the argument we are using now to go over there and go after the ISIS terrorists. Because we're beginning to believe that they've got something going, that they're going to spring on us. And as you know, tomorrow is September the 11th. And there are a lot of people that are a little bit concerned about that as well. So, the Libertarian Party says that the United States spent $20 billion, that's with a B, to train and equip the Iraqi army. They say President Obama is now dropping bombs to destroy the equipment that the U.S. military left behind, some of which remain in the hands of the Islamic State. They say the absurdity of spending more U.S. taxpayer dollars to destroy U.S. weapons is one more piece of evidence that we must draw down our military. A non-interventionist foreign policy, says the Libertarian Party, is the best way to achieve peace and reduce the risk of a terrorist attack on U.S. soil. It also goes a long way toward balancing the federal budget, cutting taxes, and halting inflation. Now, the party says the Islamic State joins a long line of U.S. enemies who the U.S. government helped in their rise to power, including Muammar Gaddafi of Libya, the Ayatollah Khomeini from Iran, Manuel Noriega from Nicaragua, Saddam Hussein from Iraq, and, of course, Osama bin Laden, who was originally from Saudi Arabia. Now, they say that both Democrats, such as Dianne Feinstein, and Republicans like Senator John McCain, are too hawkish when they call for more war in Iraq. So, there you have it. And it looks like Steve's missed his calling today. We'll have to chastise him and just go on with the program. Thanks, Big Ed, for your efforts. Maybe he'll call in a little bit later. But, you know, this is live radio. That's what makes it exciting. You never know if someone's going to show up or not. Well, Breitbart News. Are you familiar with Breitbart? Breitbart's a very conservative online news company named for their founder. I forget his first name, but I think it was Larry Breitbart, who died much too young. But they claim that the IRS is going after them, that the IRS has selected Breitbart for an audit, and they suggest it's politically motivated. Now, it's a California-based company. It runs several conservative websites, and they say that the IRS is auditing its 2012 finances. Here's the executive chairman of Breitbart. He says the Obama administration's timing is exquisite. But try as they might through various methods to silence us, we will only get more emboldened. Now, this audit comes as Breitbart faces, as the IRS faces sustained complaints that it's targeting conservatives for extra scrutiny. And in this case, it remains unclear whether the audit of Breitbart is anything out of the ordinary, apparently, because the IRS does audits all the time with companies. But you gotta wonder, especially after all of the hullabaloo around Lois Lerner, the IRS official that first admitted that conservative organizations indeed were being looked at a little bit more than everybody else. But the IRS is asking Breitbart for a whole bunch of things, logs of its receipts and expenses, partnership agreement, and apparently a written narrative of the business. So, yes, Andrew Breitbart, by the way, was the founder of the company, a very conservative activist. And he died like a couple of years ago, very unexpectedly, heart attack. He was young. They also do, by the way, Breitbart has a number of offshoot sites. They've got Big Hollywood, Big Journalism. They got some others too. So they're an interesting organization. We're going to take a break because my voice is getting a little cracky here and got to take a little more water. So stick with us. Remember, we're going to give you the top 10 board games of all time. I find that to be very interesting. So don't go away.
Young child with dreams. Dream every dream on your own. When children play, seems like you end up alone. Papa says he'd love to be with you if he had the time, so you turn to the only friend you can find.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Rays Report.
Tuesday, the Rays opened a road trip in New York against the Yankees and got themselves going early.
Drives one deep to right field, way back and gone into the second deck here in the ballpark in the Bronx as James Loney tees off on a first pitch fastball. hits his ninth home run of the season, and he gives the Rays a 1-0 lead.
The Rays chased Hiroki Kuroda in the fourth, scoring four runs on nine hits against him, and then used some defense to hold on.
Swing and a base hit to left field. Here comes Drew to third. He's going to be waved home. They're running on Joyce. The throw to the plate is in time. They got him.
The Rays made several key defensive plays. Jake McGee nailed down the save for Chris Archer. Jake Odorizzi on the hill for the Rays tonight. Airtime on the Rays Baseball Network at 6:30. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
Catch the Rays all season on the Rays Baseball Network. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Arg matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing, our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Nowhere. I don't know where come lately.
We're back on Freedom Works. I am Paul Malloy. And guess what's coming out? Atlas Shrugged Part 3 is coming out. I have seen the first two. I'm looking forward to seeing the third one. Of course, Atlas Shrugged, written by Ayn Rand. I think it came out in 1957. Great book. Many consider it her finest work. And it's going to be out and in about 300 movie theaters across the country. Now, that's not a lot, considering most Hollywood big movies usually get 10 times that many movie theaters. But here is a message from the guy that is behind the production of Atlas Shrugged. His name is John Aglialoro, and he says, I'm asking you to help get the word out about our film, Atlas Shrugged Part 3, something for our mutual love of the work of Ayn Rand and appreciation for how her ideas have changed our lives for the better. He has emailed devotees, you might say, of Ayn Rand and the and Atlas Shrugged, and that's how I happen to get this info. He says, this weekend, coming up, Atlas Shrugged, Who is John Galt, the third and final part of the trilogy, will be released in almost 300 movie theaters across the country. He says, I wish it were 3,000 theaters and that we had tens of millions of dollars for advertising, but that would be wishful thinking. He says, the movie needs awareness to succeed in changing and opening minds. The left hopes nobody goes to the theater this week, and they don't want their own collectivist mentality compared with Rand's belief in the individual. They don't want her integrity of thought to reach the sunlight. He says the result of their philosophy is the message of Atlas Shrugged, who is John Galt. And it shows quite clearly that force, for the good of all, is a hell on earth for mankind. He says that is why the movies are constantly shunned by Hollywood, the majority of the press, and the university, of all places. As we know, he says, Atlas Shrugged sells roughly 200,000 copies every year, certainly without the support of those groups. However, too many people do not read her books, but would be drawn to see the movie if you help them make a decision by talking to them about it. So, he wants everybody that is interested in furthering the word of Ayn Rand to call and email their friends and relatives to go to the theater and watch the movie. I'm going to go and see it again. It's not a bad movie, technically. But it's got a good message. And, of course, the book itself is the thing we would be interested in, let's say, promoting for you. But Atlas Shrugged Part 3 coming up this weekend in the theaters. And we indeed have found our wayward Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation. And it's Dr. Steve Bucci, I should say. He, along with Dr. James Carafano, published a piece for the Heritage Foundation called The Way Forward in Iraq. Steve, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me, and I apologize for being late.
Not at all. Not at all. That happens, my friend. I know you're a busy gentleman, so we thank you very much for your time. And prior to your coming on, we were indeed talking a bit about not only the Heritage Foundation's situation and response to what's going on in the Mideast, but also the Libertarian Party, which has also come out. I'm just going to very briefly let you know, Steve, what they have to say. And by the way, Freedom Works, as I have told our listeners, is not aligned with the party itself, although we are a libertarian radio show. But the party itself is urging lawmakers to stay the heck out of Iraq and Syria. They say any attempt to intervene in the area undermines the ability of those in that area, the natives, to oppose ISIS, to mount sustainable opposition, and it also helps ISIS recruit supporters and puts the world at greater risk of additional terror attacks. So may I ask you, Steve, how would you respond to that comment from the Libertarian Party?
I think it's I wish they were right, that we should just stay out and that would solve the problem or at least keep us out of it. Unfortunately, the world is not as compartmented as some of those folks would like to think. And if we don't take some leadership, and I'm not saying we should go in and do the whole thing, but if we don't take some leadership in this situation, one, there'll be a continued genocide within the areas that ISIS controls. And some people can pass that off and say, well, that's not our problem. Okay, I guess that's one way to look at it. Two, we have allies and friends and American national interests in that region that are going to be at risk from ISIS and their actions. And then last of all, ISIS didn't say, stay away from us or we'll come and get you. ISIS said, we're coming to get you. And I think we should believe them. We ignored Al-Qaeda prior to 9/11, and it wasn't until 9/11 we realized, holy smoke, they were actually telling the truth. And I think we will find these guys are every bit as much dedicated to our destruction as they say they are. And if we don't take care of it there, we're going to have to fight it here.
So do you believe Obama will announce, for instance, that we're going to provide airstrikes but not boots on the ground?
I don't think that the president will commit large formations of conventional forces on the ground. No, we're not going to deploy infantry brigades and marine divisions and that sort of thing to Iraq. I think and I'm actually, I would agree with him sending some additional special operations forces, embedding them with local boots on the ground, you know, with the Peshmerga from Kurdistan, with the good units in the Iraqi military, maybe some regional forces like the Jordanians or the Turks, put our soft guys with them to control air power, because you can make the air power a heck of a lot more effective when it's controlled and targeted using our guys. And our soft guys are the ones trained to do that international interchange and that sort of role. So I don't count them as boots on the ground. When I say boots on the ground, I'm talking about regular conventional forces. I don't think you'll see the conventional forces. I think you're likely to see the special operations guys and a lot more air power.
We're talking with Dr. Steve Bucci. He is the Director of Foreign and National Security Policy at the Heritage Foundation, and we thank him very much for joining us this morning. President Obama will be addressing the nation tonight on the networks, by the way, at 9 p.m. On this topic. Steve, how many actual ISIS terrorists do you think there are worldwide? Do we have any handle on that?
Well, they estimate that under arms in Iraq and eastern Syria, there's probably between 13 and 15,000. Okay. So it's a pretty big chunk of people. And obviously they've got at least sympathizers, if not operatives, in other places around the world. So, you know, say 15,000 is probably the top number. But a lot of them, and the ones that we're most concerned about, are the American citizens who are fighting with them, which they estimate to be about 100 or so, and the Western European folks that are fighting with them, that it's between 2 and 3,000. We don't really have a good handle on that number any better than that, that are people that have passports that could theoretically come here or go back to Western Europe and do mischief.
Now, most of these people that are living, say the 2,000 to 3,000 in Europe or the 100 or so from the U.S., are they actually of Mideastern descent that have just come to live in either the U.S. or Europe?
Some are, some are not. If I had to put a number on it, this, to be honest with you, is just an educated guess, I would say at least two-thirds of them are probably some sort of original Muslim expatriate people, either that were are immigrated to Western Europe, the United States, or, you know, were born there but then got radicalized as young people. Another third of them, from what I understand from our intel folks, are, you know, the sort of blonde-haired, blue-eyed, regular European and American people. I know that sounds terrible, but
I know exactly.
The distinction you're trying to make there. They're people that would not draw undue attention if they were moving through an airport, you know, as long as they didn't have a sign of, you know, I got this T-shirt fighting Bashar al-Assad.
Well, that's actually what I was getting at. These are people that can easily go back and forth without being noticed as much.
That's
to
the
be
big
honest.
Concern.
Yes. Now, a year ago, President Obama was touting how proud he was that we were pulling out of the Mideast with our troops. Mm-hmm. And here we come, full circle, and now President Obama is going to go before the country to justify a sort of a reentry. Is he leading from behind, in your opinion?
Well, I think he made a huge mistake not pushing harder to get a status of forces agreement in Iraq that would have allowed us to stay there longer, to have more influence on moderating the Maliki government, and to finish the training mission that we had begun with the Iraqi military. And now, while I'm glad he's doing something in Iraq, and it looks like, you know, depending on what he says tonight, that he may be willing to do more, the region, and I was just talking with one of my colleagues about this, this problem really should be led by the countries right around that area, the Jordanians, the Turks, the Saudis, the government in Baghdad. They should be dealing with this. But even though they are the ones most at immediate risk, they're still waiting for America to provide some leadership.
Well, this is the
not necessarily to do the whole thing themselves, but to show that leadership.
Yes.
That is the role that we've played in the world. And even though President Obama, you know, wants to lead from behind, that's just not what the rest of the world needs America to do.
Well, of course, the Libertarian Party uses that argument that the people closest to the scene should be the ones involved, and it should not be us every time something comes along. And I think, you know, in many ways they make a very good point, because we can't go about the world trying to stamp out all of the different trouble spots and, you know, the things that occur with the loss of innocent life when we do things like that, you know, the unintended consequences. Steve, I want to ask you finally, if I might. We tomorrow will be celebrating the 13th anniversary of the attack on the Twin Towers. And should we be especially vigilant these days, or is it just that we're caught up in the moment of what's going on over in the Mideast?
I think we need to always be vigilant on this anniversary for two reasons. One, because it helps us remember what happened on that day. You know, I was in the Pentagon when it was hit on 9/11.
Were you?
My wife was in it. That was her first day as a Red Cross volunteer nurse at the Pentagon, was on 9/11.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it's a pretty seminal day in my life.
Oh, my goodness.
And in the life of everyone in America. So we should remember it, but we should also be vigilant, because we do have enemies that are still out there that still want to do us harm. And, you know, they like doing stuff on anniversaries. It gives you a little more impact for the event. And we need to understand. And I think that the attack in Benghazi on 9/11 2 years ago should be a reminder. I mean, when I was still in the military, every year on 9/11, we really tuned up our force protection posture just in case. And, you know, I think we need to continue to do that. We have enemies who are very adept at, you know, what we would consider public information operations, you know, using the internet, using, you know, public pronouncements to influence people. The execution of our two journalists was that, you know, that's a psychological operations operation. Now, I mean, I my heart goes out to the families and definitely to the two men who died, but that wasn't to attack them or their families. It was to influence the rest of us. So we have guys that were fighting that understand that. We need to understand it too and watch for those symbolic times and movements like September 11th.
Well, Dr. Steve Bucci, we really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about this on the morning of the presentation tonight by President Obama on the networks about what we're going to do on it. Steve Bucci, again, Director of Foreign and National Security Policy at the Great Heritage Foundation. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for having me. And again, I apologize for being late.
Not a problem. Better late than ever, my friend.
That's right.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, Steve. All right, we're going to take our break. Don't forget, we're going to tell you what the most popular board games of all time. Do you know what they are? You'll find out.
A good day is coming, and I'll be there.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Just got laid off? Or quit your job? Or maybe you're employed but looking to change directions and start a new career. Before you run headlong into a new job search, join me, Carl Schumacher, on Ask the Career Coach at 12:30 Thursdays on WTAN Radio, after the Wise Guy radio show, for tips and discussions that can help you to recruit yourself into your next job. Or catch me online at www.executive-careercoaching.com.
Internationally recognized King of Murals, the one who has been featured in multiple street festivals, Florence, Italy's Leonardo da Vinci Travel Tour Museum for 5 months, Jordan, the artist, is visiting St. Pete, Clearwater, Tampa to transform your home, office, or room with an artistic creativity formation in murals. Call Jordan, the artist, at 407-310-8589.
Jordan, the artist, now has his own show Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Lobster lovers, don't miss the Palm Harbor Lobster Festival September 26th through the 28th. There will be plenty of freshly cooked homemade lobsters, craft beers, ribs, chicken, Italian ice, and other succulent food selections prepared by some of the area's most popular local restaurants. Experience three fun-filled days of live, non-stop musical entertainment performed by some of Tampa Bay's most popular bands. Don't miss this memorable experience. This is the event of the season, and patrons will be talking about it long after the most tasty crustacean is consumed at the festival. The Palm Harbor Lobster Festival benefits the world-famous Suncoast Primate Sanctuary located in Palm Harbor. Patrons will enjoy fresh, live Maine lobsters cooked to order courtesy of Tampa Bay's Lobster Haven. Presented by the North Pinellas Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Palm Harbor Lobster Festival is sponsored by WTAN Radio, Swamp Ale Beer, Bayshore Signs, Been There, Dump That, and The Taste of Tampa Bay Magazine. For more information, visit the Palm Harbor Lobster Festival on Facebook or visit www.suncoastprimates.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Work. Thank you very much for joining us. And as you well know, two more months, we got the big elections. Big elections are back. We're going to be electing all of the members of the House and one-third of the members of the Senate are up for election again. And in a roll call column that's been published a little earlier this week, political analyst Stu Rothenberg says that Republicans are going to do very, very well, thank you. He thinks they're going to gain at least seven seats in the Senate. And if they do, they will control the Senate, and assuredly they're going to keep the House, so they will have both houses in their control. According to Rothenberg, I am now expecting a substantial Republican Senate wave with a net gain of at least seven seats, but I would not be shocked by a larger gain. Now, although he says his models, and again, he's a political guru when it comes to analyzing this stuff, he says while his models do not yet support Republicans gaining seven seats, he says the trend is that way. He says, I've witnessed 17 general elections from my perch in D.C., including eight midterms, and I sometimes develop a sense of where the cycle is going before survey data lead me there. So he thinks that it's just the trending of the numbers that is leading him to say seven seats, because that is a lot more than most people are thinking. The consensus is that the Republicans will eke out a majority in the Senate, but seven seats is more than eking it out. Now, Rothenberg says it's going to be difficult for a lot of vulnerable incumbent Democrats in the Senate, including Mark Pryor of Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is a very conservative state. Mark Pryor has been there for a while as a Democrat, but he's always been able to sort of slip off the yoke of the liberal policies of Democrats. He's one of those remaining, I guess you could call, conservative Democrats. There are so few of them, and that's why he's been able to maintain. But apparently this time around, it's going to be tough for him. Another one, Mary Landrieu, Louisiana. Now, again, she's very pro opening up the oil pipelines and distancing herself from Barack Obama on many economic issues, but she's not able to keep away from him on a lot of other things. And in Louisiana, again, you typically have a conservative state. So, Rothenberg sees Pryor and Landrieu losing their seats. And he thinks at least two and possibly all four of Pryor, Landrieu, Mark Begich of Alaska, and Kay Hagan of North Carolina will lose their seats in November. Now, those are all Democrats that are seeking re-election. And that does look tough. So we'll see. Just in a couple of months. All right, here we go. And I know Big Ed is excited about this because he's a huge board game fanatic. We're going to find out if he knows what the number one most popular board game of all time. Well, let's start with number 10. So here we go. Chinese checkers.
I never understood that game.
Chinese checkers.
All right.
Okay, what you do, you had a little marble and you got this tin board. And what you got to do is you got to jump over the other. Okay. You got to jump over your own man and land somewhere like, I forget.
And but, I bet the other two that I don't understand, Yahtzee and
I loved Yahtzee, by the way. Yahtzee, I used to play that in college.
Cribbage?
Or yeah, like cribbage. That? Yeah, that's another game. Yeah, well, I played both, but Yahtzee used to play that a lot. So let's see if that one's on the list.
Okay.
Number nine. Here's one of my all-time favorites. Trivial Pursuit.
Mm.
Invented by two Canadians who laughed all the way to the bank, although one of them, after trying to finish up a second or third version, literally had a nervous breakdown.
You know, they're great on the Wii games now. And the Xbox, you know why? Because they can be updated every year with new questions.
Yeah.
Instead of the cards.
So they continue to make money on this.
Because if you played it every night, you memorize the cards.
That's true. That's very true. Number eight. Have you ever heard of Battleship?
Yes. Oh, I loved Battleship. Yeah, it was a thing that went between you. One guy sat on one side and the other side. Yeah.
And then you would position yourself.
Your ships, yes.
And they would be able to fire on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of remember that game. That was a fun game, wasn't it?
You sent President Obama one of those.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's the eighth most popular game of all time. Number seven. You may have to help me on this one, Ed. Ticket to Ride?
Mm-mm.
It's a railroad, the railroad version. They say here German style. Now, again, this is all time, maybe worldwide. Ticket to Ride has to be a more of a European game.
Must be.
Yeah, and it came in as number seven. All right, and the next one I don't know as well. Number six. Have you ever heard of Cluedo?
I've heard of Clue, but not Cluedo.
I know. I've heard of Clue, and I would say Clue would have been a good one.
Yeah.
This is called Cluedo, C-L-U-E-D-O. You roll and move. Maybe it's up. Maybe it has something to do with Clue. So, well, let's just assume it has something to do with Clue. Number five. I have no idea what this is. Settlers of Catan. C-A-T-A-N.
Wow. What are these people doing with their time?
I don't know. Now, these are, by the way, this is done by Criteria.
Are these before TV or what?
Or Ranker.com. Yeah, well, it includes all of them all time. So
okay.
This goes back. This goes back.
Well, then they had enough time to get on there.
There you go. Okay. At Ranker.com. Which is a website that ranks these things according to votes. And by the way, the criteria was pieces that move around a flat surface board. So just so you know. Okay, number four. This one I know. Risk.
Yes, I've heard of Risk.
Risk. Big board game. Huge board game for many, many years. Risk. Number three. Here's a personal favorite. Scrabble.
Scrabble, yes.
Scrabble is a huge game, and it's worldwide. Huge game. Number two.
Monopoly.
Here we go. That's it, my friend. Monopoly.
I knew it had to be in the top three.
The little old man with the top hat and the white mustache.
And then they came out with an updated version. Now they have the electronic one.
Do you know that thing
was... And they
have
one on Xbox.
Yeah. Do you know that was created after the 1929 Depression? Do you know that that's why Monopoly became popular?
Mm.
When the stock market crashed in 1929. I bet you didn't know that. You don't care. All right, here we go. Number one is what, Big Ed? What do you think?
I don't know. I thought Monopoly would be number one.
It's just think of it the overall for thousands of years.
Oh. Well, why don't I just run out and ask the nearest dinosaur?
No. Chess.
Chess, okay.
Chess is the number one most popular board. Of course it makes sense.
Well, I keep... trying to get my wife to play that, and she won't play it.
Oh, do you know how to play it?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, well, chess is number one.
I'll have to tell you a story about my high school days, how I went into the chess club and within one day beat the top-notch guy and then quit. I quit right afterwards, so I went out on top.
We'll talk about that on Friday.
Okay.
Freedom works.
I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong.